Good evening, and welcome to the Cabinet of Fever Dreams. Tonight, a tale of teenage angst, marijuana, and a malevolent eldritch spirit. The Hundred-Eyed God, The Entertaining Bargain, is a part of a shared universe series written during the pandemic of 2020. Tonight's tale is read by Jen Kirk with musical accompaniment by Petr Mrdjan. If you haven't heard the Herbalist chapter yet, I would recommend listening to that first. If you don't want to miss out on any episodes of The Hundred-Eyed God, feel free to hit whatever subscribe and rating button you have on your listening platform of choice. New chapters will be coming out every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. With that out of the way, light up a blunt, journey out to the sacred pond, and pray that it's not too late.
Above us, the stars shine like a thousand shapeless eyes. The air is thick with an oppressive energy and the smell of rotting fish. Just as I think the crowd around the crater is done growing, that the audience for whatever eldritch ritual is about to occur has gathered in its entirety, more gaunt figures emerge from the woods. There's too many to count, but my eyes drift past their faces, and I try to remind myself that these are real human beings who have somehow gotten wrapped up in all this madness. A barefoot man approaches the crowd. He's not wearing anything other than dirty underwear and a coat. His eyes are sunken deep into his skull. He is sleep deprivation personified to the tune of a caricature. In his blistered hands, he carries a wooden statuette. He holds it against his chest as if it were a baby that needs protection. Yet the closer he gets to the crowd, the more confident he becomes. Once he is at the crater, he raises the statuette above his head. Others in the crowd raise similar carvings. The idols have the shape of a man, yet where a head should be, there is simply a bulbous mass of eyeballs. Even from my hiding place in the bushes, I feel like the eyeballs are watching me. At another corner of the meadow walks a woman with an apron. Her face is caked with flour and blood and grime. Somewhere beneath all of it, she's pretty. But the question of her attractiveness is just a passing thought. What grabs my attention is the cake she holds in her hands. A perfectly shaped circle of white frosting drizzled by the scarlet of blood. The closer she gets to the crowd, the higher she lifts the cake. Most of her fingers are gone, as are the fingers of the other bakers who raised their own baked goods. The bakers and the artisans all mingle among the sweat-drenched joggers. Those blotched gray sweatsuits, those exhausted eyes, those heartbreaking expressions of suffering. As I watch them, I can't help but wonder if my stepfather would be among them if things had turned out differently. Instead, my stepdad is sleeping. He's sleeping next to my mom at home. My stepdad is at home, and I am stoned out of my mind, hiding in the bushes, watching the cult of the Hundred-Eyed God. My phone vibrates. It's Max, my ex.
Hey, how you holding up?
Rrr.
I miss you.
Rrr.
We should hang out sometime.
Rrr.
I'm really bored. Can you recommend me some shows?
Rrr. I put away my phone. I could definitely recommend him some shows. I had spent the entirety of the pandemic binging through all the critically acclaimed television that I'd missed out on the world before it went to shit. But I can't talk about that right now. I can't talk to him right now. I am too busy watching a crowd of desperate men and women attempt to summon deranged primal evil. I am also way too stoned to multitask. Oh my god, marijuana is the only thing that keeps whatever metaphysical brain parasite that is controlling the crowd out of my head. A leftover of the bong hit I took before I left the house is still floating around in my system, but I can feel its influence fading away. The rumbling in the back of my skull is coming back. Whatever is out there is reaching out for me, trying to get into my head. There's still the emergency blunt left, but I'm hesitant to light it up. Once that bit of weed is spent, I'm on my own. The wind dies down. The birds stop singing. Even the sounds of the far-off highway disappear under an unnatural silence. The crowd raises their offerings above their head, and in low, tired voices, they begin to chant.
He has seen us. He has seen the work. Soon he shall walk the earth. He has seen us. He has seen the work. Soon his eyes shall judge our souls. He has seen us. He has seen the work. Soon he will arrive.
The fish at the bottom of the pond couldn't have been dead for that long. After all, just yesterday the reservoir was filled with water. Yet as the hollow chant of the crowd echoes through the meadow of the bodies of the fish, they start to lifelessly flop. Their scales bristle as strings of flesh escape the confines of their bodies. The pink strips of slithering meat crawl towards the center of the crater, all gathering into one horrid mass. The blob pulses with life. With each tremor, the rumbling in the back of my head grows. Something is crawling its way into my brain. I spark up. The initial flush of peace envelops my body like cotton candy, but the calm doesn't last. There's jagged claws trying to make their way back into my head. A thundering voice bounces around my soul.
Come closer. The hundred-eyed god commands it.
There's a tension in my knees. A part of me desperately wants to get up and follow the voice. A part of me wants to hurl myself into the empty pond and embrace the monstrosity of flesh, to feel the vibration of its slick skin, to surrender myself to it. But no, I'm high enough to know that that's not a good idea. I purse my lips around the blunt and inhale like a fish having a panic attack.
Come closer.
The voice rumbles, but I can barely hear it. Be it lack of oxygen or excess of pot smoke, my body starts to fall off a cliff that doesn't exist. Matt sends me another message, but the vibration moves from my pocket all across my body. Warmth rushes to my face. I pass out. My eyes are closed, but I can see him. A small, shriveled up body hangs from a bulging mass of eyeballs. They can see me.
I am the hundred-eyed god,
he says, without a presence of an obvious mouth.
Why have you disturbed the ritual of my summoning?
The rumble in the back of my skull is gone. Something in the bottom of my gut tells me he can do me no harm. Something tells me I have burnt enough grams to be invincible against any form of mind control. Curiosity, I guess. I try to smile to let him know I'm not scared, but I'm way too stoned to move my face.
Curiosity.
As he laughs, the frail limbs of his body bounce from side to side like wind chimes made of flesh.
And what has your curiosity brought you?
I know my stepdad is lying in bed with my mom. They've both had a horrible 3 months, and now they're finding peace in each other's sleepy embrace. It's kind of gross imagining them, but I'm happy he's safe. I open my mouth to speak to tell the hundred-eyed god that if it wasn't for my snooping, then Greg would be in the crowd surrendering the crater, but he cuts me off.
Yes. Your false father is momentarily safe. Your incessant need to intrude on his work has taken him from my grasp, but none of that will matter soon. Soon your world shall burn with the fire of madness. Soon all that you love and hold dear will be no more. Your kind has been judged and found wanting. Soon you shall taste the wrath of the hundred-eyed god.
You can read my mind? I ask. His tiny body sways back and forth. Those shapeless eyes have a hint of frustration behind them.
Yes,
he replies.
Yes, I can read your mind. But that is not important. I can do so much more, little girl. With nothing but a simple wish, I can force a man to spill the blood of his entire family. I can crush his soul beneath the unavoidable weight of its past. What was once a passion can become an inescapable set of chains if I will it so. I am the hundred-eyed god. None shall resist my power.
Unless they're high. Another vibration goes off in my pocket. Matt's inability to survive without being the constant center of attention reminds me why the two of us broke up. I promise myself that after I give him a list of shows to watch, I'll block him forever.
Your cheap herbal tricks would only stave off the inevitable. Once the ritual is complete and my power in your realm reaches its true potential, I will make you pray for death. Your entire civilization will drop to its knees and beg for forgiveness. They will plead with me. They will promise they will change their ways and use their time in the realm of the living more wisely, but I am the Hundred-Eyed God. I do not know of mercy. The earth shall burn, the seas will boil, and...
Why? I ask.
Why?
He laughs again, this time with pompous confidence.
Why do I not know forgiveness? Because my eyes sees all, little girl. I have watched the world close down on itself with this plague. I have seen the world shutter its windows and lock its doors with 100 plagues. People are given time to grow, to learn, to improve. But what do they do instead? They despair. They despair and waste their time. If one cannot make use of one's life, one does not deserve to live it.
You want to destroy the world because people weren't productive during a global pandemic? That's pretty unhinged, dude. I say, feeling starts to return to my lips. My blunt is still in my mouth. I'd take another puff for good measure.
It is more complicated than that.
Oh yeah?
Yes.
A palpable silence spreads out through the dreamscape. Suddenly the mass of eyeballs flies within inches of me. The frail body flops around as if it catches up.
You cannot even hope to comprehend what my eyes have seen, little girl. Beneath my gaze, empires have prospered and warred. I have watched men uncover the fabric of time, and I have seen them burn libraries. My eyes have gazed upon every facet of humanity, but what they have not seen, what they crave to see, is its utter destruction.
Wait, I say, ignoring another message from Matt. You want to destroy humanity because you're bored? Oh, that's pretty dumb, dude.
Do not question me, little girl. I am the Hundred-Eyed God. My power knows no limits, and neither does my rage. Insult my intelligence again, and you shall feel my wrath.
The eyeballs shake with rage. I clearly struck a nerve. Oh, yeah? You can't do shit to me, I say with a newfound dose of confidence in my chest. You're just bored and cranky. A frustrated growl comes from the mass of eyeballs. The Hundred-Eyed God hovers impotently in front of me as if he is in the midst of trying to make up his mind about something.
You are right,
he finally says.
While you are under the influence of that filthy magical herb, I cannot harm you. But my followers can.
My numb face is immediately covered with painful scratches. I'm getting dragged out of the bushes by two of the sweaty joggers. They don't look at me as they pull me towards the empty pond, but the rest of the crowd keeps their eyes locked on me. They chant,
He has seen us. He has seen the work. All he needs is a sacrifice of blood. He has seen us. He has seen the work. May his eyes be pleased. He has seen us. He has seen the work. Soon he will arrive.
I am pushed through the crowd towards where the edge of the pond used to be. Among finely picked fish bones, the blob of fish has taken shape. Out of the mud, 100 pink eyes stare back at me. Among those horrible spheres, a toothless mouth yawns to life.
Slit her throats and let her blood flow to me,
the mouth commands.
Once her life fuels mine, the world shall burn.
The jogger next to me produces an axe. It glows in the bright light of the stars. I become intimately aware of the beating of my heart. As the blade travels towards my throbbing neck, I feel the blood travel through my body. I know I'm about to die. My phone vibrates. Have you seen Breaking Bad? I scream at the mass of eyeballs as the cold steel of the axe sends a trickle of blood down to my collarbone. The axe steadies. The Hundred-Eyed God stares at me in confusion.
What?
Breaking Bad. It's like one of the best shows that has ever been on television. It dwells into the question of what it means to be evil and whether we can retain our mortality when doing inhuman things. The hundred-eyed god is confused. The axe of the jogger puppet doesn't move from my neck, but it doesn't cut further. I seize my opportunity. Or 6 feet under. You can't destroy humanity if you've never seen 6 feet under. It's a show about death. You like death, right? The show explores the fragility of human life in the face of death, but celebrates the strength of human spirit when confronted with life-shattering trauma. I gently nudge the jogger's hand away. He doesn't resist. In the last episode, it's like amazing. I don't think I know anyone who watched it and didn't cry.
Where do I find this thing that makes everyone weep?
The hundred-eyed god finally asks. It's definitely streaming somewhere on the internet.
What is the internet?
You got so bored you were willing to destroy humanity and you haven't checked out the internet? Dude, that's real. I stop myself. I'm slowly sobering up and learning that maybe pushing my luck with the Eldritch God isn't the best course of action? That's unfortunate. Before madness burns the skies or whatever, you should really check out the internet.
What is the internet?
The blob at the bottom of the pond asks with growing frustration in its voice.
Where do I find this internet?
I take out my phone. There are 37 desperate message notifications from Matt. I push them away. I have the internet on my phone, I yell down into the pond.
You are too far away, little girl. Come closer.
The blob groans. Getting an axe blade pressed into my neck has sobered me up. I'm scared, but my hand-eye coordination has improved considerably. I make my way down through the mud towards the center of the pond. The finely picked fish bones crack under my feet like eggshells. The smell of rot makes me want to dry heave, but I keep my cool. I pull up the trailer for Breaking Bad on YouTube.
He is a man of science, but he also does crime.
The hundred-eyed god murmurs to himself above the crowd of worshippers stares down at us.
Interesting. Show me more of this internet.
Come on, Liz, talk to me. We're meant for each other.
I put Matt on mute and show the Eldritch God the tubes of the internet. I throw in a couple more series trailers, but when I notice his eyes drifting, I bring out the heavy mind ride guns. I take the hundred-eyed God through public freakout forums, through fail compilations, and all the way towards YouTube drama channels. I thank my lucky stars that I charged my phone before I left the house. If I didn't, I probably wouldn't have a head and humanity would be over.
How much more of this is there?
As inhuman as the array of eyeballs is, I see a glint of something familiar. He's tired. After a couple of hours of browsing the internet, the hundred-eyed god seems all tuckered out. His followers continue standing at the edge of the pond, expressionless. Oh, on YouTube alone, there's like 300 new hours of videos posted up every minute. The blob of fish flesh bubbles. He's thinking.
I want to see it all.
He finally says. Well, you can't destroy humanity and enjoy the internet. Gotta make a choice. He bubbles again harder this time. Some of those pink fleshy eyeballs pop to make room for his growing mouth.
All of you.
A rumbling voice thunders through the forest.
Go home.
Without a hint of hesitation, the haggard crowd of worshippers turns around and marches back off into the forest. What's going to happen to them? I ask.
They will have some trouble remembering what they did for the past 3 months. Some of them will be confused about their missing fingers.
There isn't a shred of empathy in the hundred-eyed god's voice, but for what it's worth, I was expecting a significantly worse outcome.
Give me your internet.
Out of the blob, a stringy tentacle of fish guts emerges and reaches for my phone. I want to send a quick message to Matt to let him know I won't be on my phone, but he beats me to it.
Okay, fine. Don't talk to me, you bitch. I don't care anymore. Goodbye forever.
Problem solved. The guy was always a tool anyways. I placed my phone in the rotting fish tentacle.
Good. Now leave me be. I will watch one more video and then rest.
I don't argue with the Eldritch God. I go home. I can hear my stepdad snoring in the other room. My mom occasionally tries to tuck him back into silence, but she's too tired to put up any real effort. The guy deserves to sleep anyway. He's been through some rough shit over the past 3 months. We all have. We've all gone a bit crazy this quarantine season. Knowing that the world isn't going to end in some demonic bonfire fueled with human insecurity is nice. Being able to trace back some of the obsessive needs for productivity and self-improvement during a global pandemic to the ancient god rather than our own inferiority is pretty cool as well, yeah. But you know what's really dope? You know what is going to make it really easy for me to pass out right now? The stars. They no longer look like giant eyeballs that are waiting in the sky for something horrible to happen. There's a gentle summer wind outside, and the stars look like regular old stars. The hundred-eyed god is no longer watching us. He's no longer waiting to bring ruin to civilization or bend mankind to his will. The hundred-eyed god is just frying his brain on the internet like the rest of us. Good night. Hope you're safe, sane, and healthy.
The Cabinet of Fever Dreams is written and produced by Mike Jesus Langer and is brought to you by patrons such as Moo, Serafina L, Lucky J. Horton, Alan Rawl, Kus, Bob Kondrick, Chicken Mixer, and Daniel Wengel. If you'd like to join these fine people and support the show and get early access to episodes along with a bunch of bonus content, drop by patreon.com/MikeJLanger. And so concludes this episode of The Cabinet of Fever Dreams. Make sure to drop by next week for another episode of the Hundred-Eyed God series.